Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. We want to encourage you to be searching for Eagles on the Hill on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit the like button there, subscribe, encourage your friends also to join us as we discuss all things about the Christian life and how we live out our lives as Christians throughout the week. Today, we got a great topic. It's about technology, which I know a little bit about, but not a whole lot about, and came across this thing called 10 TechWise Commitments. It's excerpted from a book by Andy Crouch. So we want to give credit to that book and to Andy. And I also, since I don't know a whole heck of a lot about technology, I wanted to get somebody in here who did know a bunch about technology. And that person is Joel Marquardt. He is the director of middle school ministry at Christ Lincoln. Joel, welcome to the show. Say hi to the people.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad you're here because you know a lot more about this than I do. And so I'm glad you're going to help us talk through this. Now, we're probably not going to get through all 10 of these, but if you could highlight some of the most important ones, things that you think are most important, that would be super.
Yeah. I kind of looked through and picked out maybe my top five of these, even 10.
Okay.
And I love that these are set up as what he calls commitments, not as commandments.
Okay.
Because every technology is different. And we're going to use technology differently in different settings, different times of our lives, for different purposes. So it's not that there's a rigid, hard, fast rule. And technology changes, right? Stuff we talk about today, hopefully, is things that can be true of any technology, even into the future, things that we don't even know will exist in 5 years. These are kind of principles to live by, not so much this is how it has to be done.
So when they put the chip in my head, I'll still be able to use these things.
Exactly. Yes. Right. It's the relationship between who we are as God's people created in His image and the tools that we create as creative people, namely different kinds of technology. And so, I think that leads straight into the number two point here, which is that we want to create more than we consume, which is such a great way to frame and filter our technology. Is this a good piece of technology for me to use? Is it something that is going to like suck me in, or is it something that I'm in control of? Right? As people created in God's image, is our technology lording over us, or are we able to keep our place above the created things that we've created as humans? And so he says, we fill our center of our home with things that reward skill and active engagement. So in Andy's example, and if you read his book, it's a great read. He's a very musical family. He talks about how each member of their family plays different instruments. And so they've repurposed their living space to focus on instruments and not TV screens. And so when they come together as a family, they want to do something that's active and engaging and uses some skill, some honed things. You practice and you play with each other and you're working together instead of the disengage and turn away. And even though you're sitting next to somebody, you're really not doing anything to build a relationship with them because you're more relating to the screen.
Sure. I remember when our kids were younger back in New York, we found ourselves, the television kind of became the center point of the living room. That was back before, you know, cell phones and all of that stuff and all the multiplication of technology. And we decided, you know, we put our kids in timeout when they were bad. And so we felt like our TV was being bad. And so we put it in timeout. We put it down a basement and, it was in timeout for, I don't know how many months down there. And we could go down there and watch it if we wanted to, but otherwise it was in timeout. So that kind of reminds me of this.
Yeah. And if you look at your phone, I mean, even as adults, most of us look at our phones and kids could do this too, but which of these apps on your phone are you using to create or to consume? And do you have tools, your phone, you connect with people that you need to for work. You got a calculator on there. You've got other things you're doing work with, but then how many other apps on your phone are just consumption? It's about buying more stuff, seeing more content, you know, how much of my playlist can I get through today on my podcast app? You know, we know that those things can consume us if we don't keep that relationship healthy between our technology and us.
That's good.
And so number three, which kind of leads from there, is that he says we're designed for a rhythm of work and rest. And this is based on the third commandment, the Sabbath, right? That we have a rhythm of work and rest, God built into our creation, into who we are as his people. And so Andy says, we, for 1 hour a day and for 1 day a week and for 1 week a year, we turn off devices. And you can use that time then to worship, to feast, to play, to rest together, to do all the things that we get distracted from when our technology is constantly on and buzzing and pinging in our pockets. And this is such a healthy rhythm. I think in the rhythm, you could tweak this, you could adjust this rhythm, but I do like his a suggestion of 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a year. I think that 1 hour a day is actually much more accomplishable than most people realize. And even for kids, if you're talking to someone who has teenagers, first 30 minutes of your day, last 30 minutes of your day, that's actually pretty healthy. That you wake up and don't go to your screen. Mm-hmm. Wake up and talk to the person who's in the bed with you or who's in the house with you, and you eat some food or drink some coffee or something for 30 minutes. And then before bed, that you plug it in, put it away, and read a book or to your family or do something else for 20 minutes, take a bath, a shower, whatever, and just let your brain process without having it being fed. And then for 1 week, for 1 day a week, usually that's kind of a Sabbath day. So a weekend could be a Sunday that you leave your phone at home. Don't bring it to church. You didn't need it anyway. You know how to get to church in your favorite coffee spot or your lunch spot or whatever. Talk to the people you're with. Do something. Go to a park when it's nice. You know, all these kinds of things that are good for us that we can build relationship with our loved ones over without that way. And then 1 week a year, which is more difficult. Maybe if you work, that's hard to step away from that. But also, it's healthy that we take that time, that we have vacation days from our employers for a reason, that our students, our children need these kinds of rhythms. In fact, when we go on trips, at least with our middle school students, we ask them to leave phones behind for that reason. This is their chance to have that week off and that week away.
And that's probably hard the first day, I'm guessing. Yes. Like that's the hardest.
You know, the first couple hours, but once first you break, hour. It. Once you break through that, you start to realize, oh, there's people around me. I like these people. We're doing things together. We have purpose. Another author, I think it's Sherry Turkle, maybe, talks about 7 minutes of conversation. Once you hit past 7 minutes, you get to the point in a conversation where you can actually begin to relate to somebody. But for those first 7 minutes, typically, we're not getting very deep. And that's just kind of normal human behavior. But how often do we have 7 minute conversations anymore? Because at least at some point in that, we turn to the thing, the screen.
Right. All right. So let's go on to another one here.
Yeah. Number six here talks about using screens for a purpose. And this kind of goes back to the, are they creating or consuming? But like he talked about using screens together rather than aimlessly and alone. And so like you talked about moving a TV to the basement. Well, that might help you create some of that more family space, family time. But imagine now that TV in the basement, that instead of engaging with the family, someone just goes to the basement all by themselves. Right. And you start to lose some. And so we can see this technology use in our own homes oftentimes where nowadays we don't have just TV in the basement. We have TV in every room. Sure. And you have an iPad in every room or a phone or whatever. So now people all, you know, family of four, you've got four rooms with four individuals all on two screens each.
Right.
And that's not healthy use of technology, right, to separate us. Right. Smart Jen from Omaha, who came and presented at our church a few months ago, described this kind of behavior. And as the presenter talked about it, she said, what we're seeing is these kinds of depressive symptoms, isolation, unending behavior, scrolling that never ends. And you're moving into your on your own, even though you're connected, you're by yourself. And she said, if someone was doing this for months on end and it became debilitating, we'd call that clinical depression. And in some ways, we can create that actual dysfunction, that depression, by exhibiting those symptoms.
Right.
And the way to break out of that is to do something that's active, engaging, that we're going for a walk, we're talking to people, we're in the same room as other people while they're doing stuff. So you're doing the dishes, but someone else is at the table talking. That kind of alternative to just going into technology all the time on our own.
Right. I found, and I've shared this, I think, even from the pulpit preaching, maybe a month ago now, I found that I had to take Facebook off my phone. I tried to not, using them aimlessly and alone. I tried to not look at Facebook on my phone. I tried. I really did. I could not do it. Is that bad? And so I finally had to take it off my phone. I couldn't do it. I have it on my iPad still. So if I need to go and look up somebody's birthday or something or whatever, I can do that. But, yep. you know, for a purpose. But I found myself just scrolling and I could not stop doing that. And yeah, it's just, it sucks you in. And it leads to that repetitive behavior that leads to depression eventually.
Yeah. And these companies have monetized that. They right. they know what works. They know what draws you in. And they know what grabs people, like grabbing our attention. That's why they're doing that. Yeah. Number seven, this kind of gets that whole idea of together rather than just alone. It says that car time is conversation time. And this is great really for families, especially families with older elementary, middle school, high school age kids, is that you end up spending a good portion of the time you have with your children in the car throughout the day. That's the primary place you have with the kids. And so, again, it's easy for that to go, that car time to become, turn to my screen, I'm isolating myself, even though there might be three or four of us in a vehicle, I'm isolated in that. Mm-hmm. Instead, focus that time on, let's talk about something. Let's review what happened. What are we excited for tomorrow? You know, use some of those basic prompts in conversation to engage rather than to isolate. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for prompts and things like that, access.org has some great resources for parents that would give you some great ideas on things to talk about that are free.
So what is that again? Access, A-C-C-E-S-S?
A-X-I-S.
A-X-I-S, A-X-I-S dot org, Access. Okay.
Yep.
And they have great conversation prompts and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Good.
And then to go along with that family, just keeping the family together. Number eight here, it says that spouses have one another's passwords and parents have total access to children's devices. This is a accountability thing, that transparency and accountability breed appropriate behavior. That when we know that someone else has the ability to check on us, we behave like someone is watching. And that's, you've heard that saying, character is who you are when no one else is watching. This is that mindset, right? That if we know that no one's going to see what I'm doing on my phone, what I'm looking at, what I'm posting, what I'm messaging to other people, then I'm just going to do whatever I want. Right. And we know this as people who believe in original sin, that inherently that's not going to be pretty. So having access, having accountability and transparency is a healthy thing. And I understand that parents, especially if you've already given a child a phone and you haven't set that kind of boundary up, that can be a difficult thing to establish. And yet it's almost even more important to establish, because it doesn't have to be all the time looking over their shoulder. It can be, hey, I'm going to check your phone once a week. And I'm not going to tell you when, but at some point during the week, I'm going to check your phone. I'm just going to scroll through some messages. I'm going to look at what you've been, your time usage, like how many apps you've been using for how long. We'll talk about that. It's a conversation. It's not I'm looking for things that you've done that are wrong. It's a, let's work together on building healthy habits and being who we want to be. Who does God call us to be as servants and loving people? And let's work on breeding those kind of characteristics in ourselves.
And really the sooner you do that, the better. If you haven't done it yet, today's the day, right? It's best to do it when you first give the device, but if you don't do it when you first give it, then today's the day to do that. Now, there's also ways to be able to put, I don't know what you would call it, controls on devices so that you can only spend X amount of time a day on a particular social media site or, right? I mean, can you give us any hints on how to use those?
Yeah, app timers. A lot of phones have app timers. We can set after an hour of use, it turns off. Or parental controls, especially. And if you have a family plan for a phone or whatever, you can say after so many hours of screen time overall, no matter what the apps are, that the phone shuts down or it limits to certain functions. Or, for example, you can set sleep mode on your phone. And at 10 o'clock every night, the phone turns to black and white, to grayscale, which is actually better for your eyes and disincentivizes that endless scroll behavior and then shuts down other certain apps, right? That kind of stuff you can build. And you can look that kind of things up, those things up online to see how to do it on your particular device, your child's device. I think the thing we have to watch at this is that so often if something was happening in our own physical places, in our house, at our children's school, in our car, we would take pretty quick action if we saw something unsafe or inappropriate, or we heard about something we didn't like happening.
Sure.
And in physical spaces, we're almost overprotective as parents today. But in digital spaces, we just kind of let loose. And it's like giving your kids access to the information superhighway when we haven't even given them any kind of driver's ed or a driver training class.
That's a great analogy. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, Joel, there, of course, there's five more here. Encourage you guys all to go back and check out the book if you'd like. Again, it's the 10 TechWise Commitments from the TechWise Family by Andy Crouch. So encourage you to check that out. The Tech-Wise, TechWise Family by Andy Crouch. Check that out for more information. I just want to thank Joel for coming on board today and being able to work with us here on the podcast, but also for all of your work with our middle school students. I've seen you in action with over 200 students here at Christ and their families. So we're talking upwards of 1,000 people by the time you add all those families in. Joel, you got a huge job and you do it just with excellence. And want to just shout out appreciation to you for what you do for so many to bless them. Just encourage parents as we go through this. This is maybe one of the most difficult parts of parenting. And so it's great that you have Joel and others as a resource. We need all the help we can get as parents for sure.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
Joel, thanks for being here. We'll say goodbye to you and have a great day. All right. Well, that's what we have for you on the podcast today. We want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. If you have any questions about what you heard today in the podcast, if you want to get a hold of Joel and don't know how to do that, I can certainly link you up with him. So eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know also other ways in which you would like some help dealing with the practical things of everyday life, whether it be parenting or not, whatever kinds of assistance, whatever kinds of information you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, just let us know. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.